Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Marty Oakley TS Radio, Voices Caring for Animals, number 157 and counting. And we're going to have another great show tonight. And I wanted to, all you new listeners out there, welcome aboard. All you returning listeners, thank you so much for all your support every week. And when you can join in, because the more voices out there for the animals, the faster the changes will be made. And I just want to say a couple things before we get into the show. There is a chat room that is open if you'd like to join in. I'm having a little bit of problems right now with it, but I'm trying to get it together. But you sign in from Blog Talk Radio up in the right-hand corner. Where it says sign in, you can sign in from Facebook or Twitter. Scroll past the comments, and a chat room will appear. But I'm trying to get that together right now. But this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online. And if everyone would please visit that, it's www.ppjg.me. And at the bottom of the article, you can share these articles that are on each post. And also on the right-hand corner, there's where you want to follow the PPJ Gazette under blog stats. And each time there's a podcast or an article, that will be delivered right to your primary email. And also on Blog Talk Radio up in the right across from Marty Oakley's name, press follow, and that just alone will notify you there's a new podcast coming up. Voices Care for Animals is on every Tuesday, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Mountain, and 5 o'clock Pacific. You can listen and worldwide, everyone. So all you worldwide listeners out there, welcome aboard. Appreciate it. And on every Tuesday, we are live, and it will be archived on Blog Talk Radio. So if you ever have come in late or you missed it, you could go to blogtalkradio.com and put in or do the search Voices Care for Animals or Debbie Dahmer or TS Radio. And what the links will pop up and you can press on each one of them, which one you want to hear. Wait for a minute to download and it will play. And you can share on the left side of the screen to the social media. You know, Twitter, Facebook, you can email it, copy it, press the cross, and it's all of them, WordPress, Pinterest, and the list goes on, Google+, LinkedIn. So the more voices out there, everyone, the faster the changes will be made, because these animals cannot speak for themselves. They are similar to the elderly and the children. They're helpless, voiceless, innocent, and defenseless. So if we don't stand up and speak out for them, they don't stand a chance. And I wanted to read something I put on social media for Facebook the other day. Got a lot of shares and likes and everything. And I wanted to read it because so much going through social media with, you know, terrible, horrific pictures of animals being, you know, just sickening. And we got to do something about that, about the the treatment of these animals. Not because some people can't, you know, say, oh, I can't look at that. It's just disturbing or whatever. But put yourself in the animal's feet or his paws and take action, because none of us like seeing those pictures. We just, you know, a lot of the videos I can't even finish watching, but it's the truth and reality what's going on today in this world. What they're out there, and they can't fight back. And if we don't do it for them, then what are they going to do? Because they're so innocent. But the post I put, and it said, if you don't like pictures of animal cruelty being posted on social media, you need to help stop the cruelty, not the pictures. Had 162 shares on that, 113 likes and all these comments, and that is so true. You know, if anybody unfriends you because you stand up for the animals, you know, that's so wrong. They're being part of the problem, not the solution, because I've had it done to myself, and I don't think it's right, but I'm not going to change for them. I'm going to stay and do what I'm doing because it's meant to be, you know. So the more voices out there, everybody, let's do it, you know. And my name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the host of the show. And want to welcome everybody. Hope you enjoy it. Like I said, the chat room, it looks like it's not coming in yet, but I'm trying. And also, if you want to check out Voices Carry for Animals support group on Facebook, you're more than welcome. Ask to join. And I put, you know, the admins put, you know, the links to the shows, petitions, whatever you can help out. And feel free to add any of your friends, your family, you know, your coworkers, and list goes on. But I want to go ahead and this guest I got tonight, she's an Army veteran, animal lover, mechanic. First of all, I want to thank her for serving our country out there, and all veterans out there, military, serving our country now, and that's passed away during their out there, you know, fighting for us. You know, give them a big salute. Next time you see a veteran out there, military, go up and tell them thank you and give them a big hug, because it's, you know, they sacrifice their lives out there, just like our police out there. Respect them, please. You know, the FBI, the DEA, we need all of them. You know, so give them your respect and tell them thank you for protecting us, because it's so meaningful. I mean, they're out there, you know, some of them don't get to come home for months, years, and away from their families, and they're not guaranteed to come home alive. So, everyone, please do your part. Take notice. Veterans Day's coming up. Go up and thank a veteran. Give them a big hug and say thank you very much for what you've done for us. But I want to go ahead and introduce the guest, and her name is Grace Hamlin. She's the founder of the W Underdogs. Grace, how are you doing this evening? Welcome to Voices Carry for Animals number 157. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air.
Hey, Debbie. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very proud to be here. And just one quick correction. It's Wonder Dogs. All right, Debbie? Say
Wonder Dogs. Okay.
Wonder
gotcha.
Dogs. Yeah. I'm trying to roll that out of people's tongue. I'm really excited about where we're going with this.
Oh, yeah.
So I want. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the idea is these kids are heroes, so we want to basically emphasize that W and just really, get behind it, because we are literally empowering our youth in our community to change how we look at rescue and how we look at animal welfare issues and how it impacts the development of their, you know, future. So it's been a really long journey. I've been in Atlanta for 6 years. I didn't start off a nonprofit. I came in as a civilian right after the crash of the market. In 2008, I moved to Atlanta in 2011. And then soon after, I was injured on the job, and my unemployment benefits ran out. So I was on disability, but it was just a mess and a lot of uncertainty. So Atlanta has got a lot of kids and a lot of strays, and I found opportunities to start the work of the animals and the kids together. And it's been really important in my life, and now I recognize the importance of the work itself. It just the kids get older, so we started with them in elementary school, middle school, but now they're in high school. So originally their dream was, you know, you're going to use the animals to find your voice, which has been very true. We've been fighting and advocating for the animals. But now what we recognize is now the kids have recognized and found their own voice. So while helping to help fight for animals, now we're fighting for our community and enriching the overall problem, because the animals are just telling us there's something wrong and nobody's really listening to it. So since I've been here, I've been using the animals to tell the story of what's going on in these communities. And we're talking about inner city, downtown Atlanta, where there's dogs on chains in spite of the fact that it's illegal to have chains. So I don't understand how that's possible. I'm coming from California, so this is very difficult for me to see, and because I am a veteran and I have, you know, I got into work with animals. I've been rescuing for 15 years. I have PTSD, so, like, the animals have always been in my life to help me overcome. But when I see suffering of animals and youth, it really upsets me even more. So since I've been in Atlanta, I've been under a lot of stress, and I've tried to turn it into something positive for myself and for change for the kids and the animals.
Oh, this is so inspiring, and I tell you, thank you so much, because this is so meaningful. You know, you start them out, you know, the children out young, learn more, you know, respect the bond between humans and animals. You know, hope to see that more happen in all these schools, you know, field trips to the rescues that come on one-on-one, and it's just so inspiring, the work that you're doing. And the team out there, a big shout out to all of you for all your heart and inspiring work. Keep up the good job, because this is wonderful. I mean, it's just outstanding. I hope more pick up on what you're doing across the world, Grace. I hope to hear more and pick up, and it's like a chain reaction.
Yeah, I think it's catching on. You know, the idea of animals in prisons is something that's very successful, and everybody is talking about it. What we're not talking about is the younger kids. So I'm excited, because my program is to keep kids out of prisons, to keep them involved in fields that have never had that opportunity. So most of the services that we provide are within the inner city, and there's no vet services, affordable vetting. There's no grooming. So a lot of the cruelty we see, we start asking, is this cruelty or is this a matter of the services not being where it needs to be, you know? So we talk about creating jobs and making, helping animals and helping people. That's what I'm trying to make the connection is when I think about just the animal colonies. I have cats everywhere. The suffering of just the cats, if we look at, for example, the cats that we have downtown Atlanta, we have cat colonies everywhere. Cats are dying left and right, getting hit by cars. And I'm over here trying to figure out how I can pay, say, a senior citizen to help us deliver the traps to the, you know, because all of this, it's going to cost money, right? In the end, I mean, we all are volunteering and we're saying we're a nonprofit, but it's going to take money to fix this problem. So I'm over here trying to balance what we're doing, raising money through the landscaping work that the kids do, and paying a senior to help us get trap and neutering under control in our communities, because it's not a priority of the city or the county. But if I was smart enough, I would figure out how much it's costing them to, you know, to have these dead animals. How much is insurance companies, you know, paying for cars that are being damaged by the, you know, the animals that are being hit? And it's really heartbreaking, because since I've been to Georgia, the kids and I took a trip to Iowa, and I was telling somebody, the scenery on the highways in Georgia is dead dogs. But when we moved out into Kentucky and Illinois, the scenery was more wildlife, like deer and opossums and raccoons. But in Georgia, it's a lot of dead dogs on the side of the road, on the highways. And that really goes to say we have a real problem, an overpopulation problem in Georgia, and that we are not talking about and addressing. Like, I think we're talking about it, but I don't think we're looking at solutions yet and how big we're going to have to go with solutions. So luckily for us with the kids, we look at all the problems we're facing, and then we bring it down to the community level. So how does the animal issues affect the development of my kids? And it all started originally from the dream was to keep kids out of gangs by helping animals. Real simple dream. But wintertime came, and I had dogs howling in the backyard, and they were cold, and inadequate shelter came into picture. And you call animal control, and they say, you know, sorry, the law isn't supportive. Like, that is adequate, defined by the law. So then we're fighting to rechange that law. You know, we're over here like, wait a second, we're a youth program. We're just supposed to help kids, help animals, you know, just by, like, rescuing them and socializing them and fattening them up and loving them and then finding them homes. But that wasn't good enough. All the ones we had to address the default in the laws. So all the ones were over here like, how is that an adequate shelter? And by law, it was considered adequate shelter. So then we started the doghouse project where the kids started building doghouses and delivering doghouses and hay. And then we have the chains. And it's like, holy cow, how is it illegal to chain your dog? But most of Atlanta has dogs on chains. So then we started asking these questions. They're like, why isn't there more resources on these issues? And the answer is that I don't think Atlanta or Georgia understands how big the problem is and what an impact it has on our communities. So I've literally had to fight everybody from the police to animal control to legislation because they're not seeing how it impacts the lives of the children. So then that's when I started making the argument of like, holy cow, I know because I was 15 years of rescuing animals. And when I saw a dog on a chain and out there in the cold, it broke my heart. And I was just thinking about that poor animal. But when you live in the backyard of that poor animal, you get to know the family that owns that animal. And when you see children going into that house without proper, you know, shelter, and proper food and proper dress and proper... Then you start looking at the problem as a bigger problem. So it's like, how did we not see the children and how these animals are just letting us know that there is something bigger going on, a greater suffering going on here. And basically, that's how it pretty much started. We kept asking questions about how is this acceptable in this community, but I've never been anywhere else. But I've been pretty fortunate since I was adopted to go from a third world country to a privileged family of attorneys and nurses and just educated people who gave me a great opportunity to get into education and the Army experience, you know, I got to see more of the country, and I've never seen anything like this before. So coming to Atlanta and living in the inner city, it was really depressing because it took me back to my third world beginnings. I've never seen more trash, more stray dogs and kids running around. So it did something to me, and it kind of empowered me, but it also concerned me because we are talking about America, the United States, and this should not be acceptable. And I don't know I don't know how to get off this track. You know, I just feel like we all have to come to the table and realize that we're talking about animals, but at the same time, we're talking about our humanity. You know, we're talking about our character. So if we do not care about people, these animals will never have a chance. So if you don't start caring about what's going on to these kids in these neighborhoods, these animals don't have a chance. So what I was saying with the break the cycle of abuse, it literally is how is this child supposed to not put this dog on a chain if nobody's showing him differently? In this community of Atlanta, downtown, this is like tradition. You know, they get a dog, they put it on the chain. You know, how do we break that cycle? And how do we get people to understand why breaking that cycle is so important? And Debbie, you can interrupt me anytime. I feel like I could talk forever on this.
Hey, you're doing fine there, Grace, because it's very informative and loved for the audience to hear all this, because this is the truth and reality of what's going on out there. It's not a pretty picture. So whatever we can do, all come together as one, because there's some very serious issues out there that need to be in the spotlight, focused on, and fixed. Because we just can't, you know, keep letting it go on. It just Just like you said, humanity. We need more unity in the community, everybody. You know, get involved and stay involved. See what you can do. Because I'll tell you what, kindness rocks. And when you make, even if it's one animal that you're doing something for, you're making that animal so happy. And his you know, making him feel like he's wanted, made it loved, cared for, a better life for him. Because when they see their lives changing for the better and we're involved, they can't say thank you, but they'll show it. And by their, that's their actions, right? I mean, you probably see it all the time. And all you wonder dogs out there, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. Because I went through your Facebook page, Grace, and also your website. Awesome and meaningful. I mean, the photos, and Victoria Stilwell was in there. I hope she calls in tonight. If you are out there, Victoria, press 1 if you're in the queue, and I'll let you in. And you're more than welcome to be a guest on the show. She's it's either the dog or was it? It's the dog or me.
Yeah, exactly.
See you plenty of times. So, Victoria, if you're out there, you're more than welcome to call in. Press 1 if you're in the queue. But but all of us together can make a difference. We just got to at least try. And that kindness out there, it's powerful. It is very powerful. Even towards humans, what we can do for each other. I mean, look at the hurricanes. Look, I mean, a mass amount. The people that was coming together for the animals, for each other. Neighbors helping neighbors, you know. And strangers helping strangers. Friends helping friends. I mean, it was just a chain reaction. So everybody, it's awesome how all of us can come together as one and do what's right and do what's going to be a positive impact. And, you know, just do your thing, right, Grace? Because what you're doing is outstanding. Thank you for serving our country. I give you a standing ovation and all veterans out there. Thank you all so much. And I got I got a caller calling in, if that's okay. Area code 678, you're live and on the air. Go right ahead. You have any comments or questions for Grace?
Hello, Miss Grace.
Hey, that sounds like one of our wonder dogs.
Hey, wonder dog, what's going on? Welcome to Voices Caring for Animals. go ahead.
James is not shy.
James,
hey.
That's good, James. Hey, thank you for all you do, okay? Because it's
okay,
awesome. Keep up the great work you're doing. I hope there's more wonder dogs out there that pop up across the world. You know?
Yeah, we do too.
I mean, across not just the United States, but the world. Because what you're doing, giving you a standing ovation too for what you're doing for these animals. That is so heartfelt.
But Debbie, you were talking about healing.
Yep.
When you were talking about healing, you know, the fact when we say more programs out there that help animals, it's so important because these kids really need to build that trust again. So there's a lot of challenges in the community, and there's a lot of mistrust, and we're all trying to meet in the middle of a commonality. And I think that the animals and having the kid component in there is so important because they truly are very innocent and we have to protect them. Because if we let either one of them suffer and not stand up for them, how will they know to stand up for what they believe in, you know? So with Wonder Dogs, it's so important to teach them to stand up for animals. And it's not just animals. I mean, by the time we say we teach them, you know, to help animals, they end up realizing how important it is to have friendships and teamwork. And then they realize how important it is to stand up for each other against gangs and bullying. And that conversation just keeps growing and growing because once you learn how to fight for something that's weak and the victim, if you learn to empathize for that, and sympathize for that situation, it really makes you powerful because now you're much more aware of what, you know, what we say, what is going on, how it affects us, and stand back. You know, we teach the kids to look at seniors because seniors are, you know, they get older, they lose their friends, they're alone. You know, being a wonder dog means looking at not just the animals, but looking at all of it. You know, how can we raise awareness of self by helping animals? You know, the animals just teach us so much about awareness of our community and family and just protection. So these kids are learning these things and then applying it in their life. And it's, to me, very important things that we never anticipated.
Mm-hmm. And they can spread the word, you know, to their friends and their classmates.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this could be a chain reaction, a human chain reaction. You know,
yeah.
Through your family, gatherings, you know, everybody come together because these animals, they don't have a voice. And if we don't help them out, they rely on us for a lot of stuff. Their food, you know, look at your pets at home. You know, they feed them, let them out to the restroom, give them the water, take them to the vets. You know, it's not that difficult, but they do need us. And they want attention and love on top of that. And they love that.
That's a great teaching tool. But that, right, what you just said right there is an excellent teaching tool for a young person to come in the program to build that foundation about what, you know, what these animals need and being a responsible, which is what we're talking about, right? When we're talking about the national fight about breed legislation, for example, for the uneducated person who wants to pass legislation without any concept of what we are talking about. What we are talking about is being accountable and responsible for what people are doing, and because they don't want to hold people accountable, they want to pass bad legislation. But what I'm telling my kids is, you know, you can't just get a pet and not expect to learn to train it and feed it and walk it and all these responsibilities that come along with having a pet. All these are great things to teach a child because then they learn how to care for themselves even better and how to basically care for somebody else. So I'm really excited about how much I've learned from animals working with kids because a lot of it is really relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk to you, Debbie. It's okay?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So when I first started in Atlanta 5 years ago, it was the gangs. The gangs and the animal issues were so upsetting to me because you had gangs jumping 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, making them fight at a park. So I'm witnessing mothers fighting children, you know, making them mean as hell so that they can survive. So this become a thing. Gangs is just a survival thing. And then I had the chain dogs in the backyard, cold, hungry, and dying, and no response. So I wasn't getting response from police and gangs, and I wasn't getting response from animal control. So it got to the point where I started documenting what I was seeing, and it came down to a real simple fact that when the kids and I were delivering dog houses, we were finding dead dogs. We were finding dead dogs on our street. And we take all this information to the city of Atlanta and say, look, we got gangs out here. We have dogs dying on chains. This is a real public safety problem. And they would say, you know, Gracie, you know, you're right, and, you know, this is a problem. However, you're not the worst. You know, this. I know it seems like you're in the worst area, you know, and it's really upsetting to you, which it was very upsetting to me. I can't imagine there was a worse place because I couldn't sleep at night. There was a lot of just shooting and dogs barking, and it was just cold. And I'm being told that I'm lucky because it could be worse. So then I decided to take that and start documenting with the kids how many dead dogs we had seen. And in the 2 years that we started this documenting in the nonprofit, we had 10 drive-bys on our street, and we had 60 dead dogs from backyard breeders and just starvation, parvo.
That's
just
outrageous.
Dogs. Yeah, 60 on one street.
My goodness.
I took that information, and I said, wait a second. So you're telling me that this isn't the worst neighborhood, but I got all these dead dogs and kids that have to walk by and see these decomposing bodies and smells and seeing just the decay. And what is that putting in the child's mind, you know, about the worth of them and if that's acceptable, you know, because nobody's ever said, hey, this is wrong. This is disgusting. This is unacceptable. Nobody's saying it. Everybody's saying, I don't see it, or this is normal. I don't know what they're saying before me because I don't know how this was possible. So I take these numbers and I say, okay, so you're telling me this isn't bad and this isn't the worst? And they're saying it's not. So I'm like, you know what? This is crazy because now you look at the worst area, which is in our area, let's call it Zone 1. In Zone 1, we have the highest murder rates, and we also have the highest cruelty cost. And that's when it all comes together, and it's like, wait a second. So we have a serious public safety issue here. And then a child just died 6 months ago. This summer. A child was mauled by stray dogs and a dog that got off, you know, loose. So we have a problem. But nobody's looking at these numbers. So now with our work, we are caring about these numbers, even though, back again, what is our mission? How do we get into this situation? And the whole thing for us was like, we have animals that are being abused, and then we have children growing up in this abuse and thinking this is normal. How are they going to grow up and respect animals or respect a life if nobody has ever shown that that was wrong? And that's where I'm stuck now, is that kids will continue to rescue. We've rescued 300 dogs and cats off the streets, homed them, spayed them, found wonderful partners and families. We built countless dog houses. We want to get more into breaking the chains and getting involved in a national campaign in defense of animals, so that we can help break these chains and send the right message, not only to our kids, but on a national level. Because what kids see today is what they're going to think is acceptable. And right now, I just don't hear enough in these communities what is acceptable and not acceptable. And we are leading that fight, and we're really proud that we are literally telling our kids, and they're telling everybody they know, because of the work that they're doing, that they know this is wrong and there's a better way. There's a better way to help these kids and in these communities help animals.
I believe that. And Grace and James, you stay right on air, okay? Wonder Dogs. I got
okay.
Area code 530 calling in, and you're live and on the air. You got any questions or comments for the guests, please? Go right ahead.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Gracie.
Hello.
Hi, Debbie. This is
Hello.
Jennifer.
How are you doing, Jennifer?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm just enthralled. I've listened to Gracie explain her Wonder Dogs before, but I'm here listening, just enthralled again about how truly amazing work that Gracie and her team is doing. And it, you know, we like you said, Debbie, we need teams like Gracie everywhere, because these youths. Because I mean, I know we are focused, you know, on the animals, but like Gracie is saying, these youth, they are the future of our nation. And if we aren't elevating the precedence for both animals and youth in our country, we're in a bad way if we can't work on this, because it is so critical. And as Gracie mentioned, I recently, I believe since I was on the show before, we have started a new federal campaign called Break the Chains, and In Defense of Animals has run with this because it is all part of elevating the value of both our, you know, our animals is for animals, and Gracie's elevating the value of our youth. And we're very excited about this campaign. I actually found out about Gracie and her Wonder Dogs through Victoria, a video of Victoria Stillwell, and I had asked her that question, and she told me about the Wonder Dogs, and that's how I found them. And I'm just so amazed at the work that they do, watching her daily posts and all the good that they're doing in their community. And because, I mean, we call ourselves the United States of America, but as Gracie's explaining, I mean, this going on in Atlanta, you know, in certain cities, certain states, and then other places, you know, things are better. It's like we need to unite, and we need to all come together, each state and support each other and improve the living for the those that are they end up becoming victim and strengthening them and elevating their value. So I definitely appreciate Gracie's support of the federal Break the Chains campaign within Defense of Animals, and we definitely I'm always backing her up, and I just absolutely love what she does. So if any of the listeners out there are looking for a worthy cause to dedicate your support to, please look to the Wonder Dogs and please lend your support and give them all you got.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much. And everyone, Jennifer is co-founder of Paws Across America. And she's been on this show several times with Cecilia Maida. And want to get with you also, Jennifer, probably coming on in 2018. So I'll be, because you're my Anna Warrior sister, okay? So.
Oh, back at you. It's team power, girl, team power. Yes, because we got to change the laws, right? Because that's where it starts. That's core. It's absolute core to fighting for the animals and those around us is to change the laws to protect them. And so both Paws Across America and then in Defense of Animals, trying to fight what I can on this angle and support all of the other awesome warriors out there.
Keep up the great work. Thanks for all you do because you're a great inspiration, okay?
Well, thank you. And anyone that's interested in helping us promote the campaign, please go to In Defense of Animals. It's IDAUSA.org, and there's a survey that we're hoping everyone will share because it's collecting data from anyone that sees these dogs on chains on a regular basis, like Gracie has been describing, and the horrors that they live through. And we are gathering, we want to gather mass data from all across the country to use that data to construct a master bill, something that we can push federally and utilize, and state to state could use it as well, but we want to make it available for anyone that wants to use it and get these dogs off chains. We want an unchained nation, and Gracie's helping, and the youth too.
Yes, all together we can make a difference. We just got to at least try.
Absolutely.
Teamwork rocks. Yes, it does.
Team power.
And James, you got team power. I like that. Animal rights strong.
Absolutely.
I like that one.
That's right.
Yep. And James, I want to bring you back on. You have anything to say to all the audience out there or your friends or the other Wonder Dogs? Go right ahead. You're more than welcome to. Go ahead. Feel comfortable. I always make my guests feel right at home. But go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say I like the work that we do. I want to say that it's the simplest thing ever, but it's like the funnest thing ever, the best thing to do, helping dogs and stuff. So I just want to say I love the work that we do.
Oh, that's great. And you know what? Keep up the great work, okay? Because I know you've made a lot of new furry friends out there to what you're doing. You're close with them, you know, and what you're doing is a positive impact out there. And keep it up because it's so meaningful.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, James. I mean, keep it up because you're great inspiration, okay?
Okay.
And everybody,
okay.
The Wonder Dogs is on a website. It's www.wonderdogs.org, okay? And they're also on Facebook. Check them out. Press like and see what all they do. Check out their photos. I checked them out and it is. They're awesome.
I just love how it's multi-purpose. I mean, Gracie has taken these issues, and she's like double whammy. I mean, elevating the children, elevating, you know, helping the animals, because it's a way for youth to rechannel. I mean, if there's any, you know, anger or aggression that some of these young people might be experiencing of things happening in their lives, she's taking that and redirecting it to something so amazing and wonderfully powerful. It's just, I'm going to, like, get tears here. It's awesome.
It's very meaningful. It is.
It is. It's a, we need more. Yes. We need more of you guys out there. You guys are wonderful.
I know.
Well, I really see. I'm just really hope. I have such hope for these guys because they are showing us the potential of the youth. So
yes.
I remember when I moved in this neighborhood, it was really sad because I saw the gangs and I saw the strays and I saw the kids suspended from school. I mean, I really didn't see anybody stopping and really helping the kids development, you know, developmental. And so many of them were like just marginalized, and so many of them were considered bad, and they were not successful. You know, like all of my kids were labeled as problem children. But when you put them in front of the animals,
yep.
I don't see a problem anymore. I see
there
nothing
you go.
But compassion. This child is taking the time to love on something. And,
absolutely.
And it's not work. That's what James, that's why it's funny that James should say, this is fun. Because sometimes I don't, wait, James, you need to tell the truth because sometimes it's not fun. Like, we were supposed to go out this weekend and have fun, and then next thing you know, we rescued 7 dogs. And now we have to find fosters, and now we have to cancel trips because now we have to figure out what to do. So all at once, the priority becomes the animals. And that's where I have to be very careful balancing this because it's a youth program, and the animals happen to enrich their life. Sometimes the work gets so
right.
overwhelming that I
right.
fail, and I feel like I'm failing. But to hear James say things
no.
that it's fun, it reminds me of the beginnings, which is how amazing it is for a child to sit quietly with a dog that's been neglected and abused, and that child has been neglected and abused in some way, and you can see the healing process through the program it's just amazing to see a child that was labeled bad, that was labeled a fighter, that was labeled something negative, put it with a dog that was discarded, and all at once you see them grow, and all at once this child helped this dog become happier and healthier, and it found a home. What did that do to that child? I hope it built that child up because we did it again next week, and then we do it again every week, and it's just a natural, just do the right thing. We try to teach the kids that, you know, just, we can't save them all, but at least pick up the phone and call animal control, you know, when you see it. So these kids are having options. They're becoming the solution to a problem that we are facing and we face in our city.
Well, you're obviously listening to them. You're obviously listening to them, Gracie, because a lot of times with the youth, they don't feel like anyone's listening. And
correct.
You are obviously listening to them, and you're, you know, just that in itself is huge. Especially with
yeah.
youth,
exactly.
that you are giving them that listening ear, and you're making these activities fun. I mean, it can you know, like Mary Poppins, you know? It's like in this, you know, everything there's an element of fun. And you're in there being Mary Poppins, and you're, I mean, not to, like, you know, make light of the scenario because it's a serious scenario that you're dealing with, but
yeah.
you are artfully and compassionately taking these issues, and you are creating a positive environment and making it fun for them, and that's what's just so phenomenal.
It's awesome. And we got another caller. Jennifer, just go ahead and stay on the air, okay?
No worries.
Too, James. We got a caller calling from area code 404. Welcome to Voices Care for Animals. Number 157, how are you this evening? Do you have any comments or questions for the guest, please? Go right ahead. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? We'll just wait for him to call back. Is this Thomas calling in?
No.
Thomas?
Thomas is on his phone.
Oh, Thomas is on his phone? Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is James, right? But anyway, James,
yeah.
and all the wonder dogs out there, you know, you're just such a great inspiration to everybody. You know, they always say, you know, blame it on society, but we are all society. So it's up to us to get the changes made, the positive
yeah.
ones. You know, we can't
yeah.
go back and change the past. We can't start all over. But what we can do is plan now in the future. And a better future
absolutely.
For the youth and the animals, all of us together put
right.
together. Yeah.
And I'm really proud of James. So James came from like bordering a gang life and not having many options other than the gang life. And for him to be such an ambassador of the work and such,
awesome.
Just really well spoken about it. So if you ask James, why do you continue to work with the animals? James is 14, you know, he's a good looking guy. He could be on the streets running around and chasing girls and just making irresponsible decisions. But every day he makes a decision to come and help me with the animals. And that says
check
a lot
out.
About
absolutely.
Opportunity. You got to give these kids an opportunity to do
yep.
right.
Yep.
And in the inner city,
agreed.
There's not too many opportunities. So I'm not saying the Wonder Dogs is the answer. I'm just saying right now, we can fix a lot of the problems we have with empowering the youth. And if we can use animals
right.
are the best teaching tool we have to teach compassion and empathy, but we're not using it enough in their life.
Well,
so
and
I'm
setting
really
a good example. You know, because they look to us, and so if we're setting a positive example, I mean that's they can pattern after, and improve their own lives. So yeah, it's just amazing.
And some of us can relate to animals so much easier than we can to other people. Like I don't know what the draw is. I think that a lot of us in the animal advocacy world have been hurt in our life to a point where we can still empathize with these animals that are hurt and voiceless. And it reminded of us of a time when we were voiceless and hurt, and now we're going to do everything we can to fight for them. It's just we have to remember where we're all coming from and not forget the children along the way, because the victims are really the children and the animals in these communities, because I've seen it. And I'm so excited that the FBI is demanding, and that's why we have to use this information. The FBI is saying that the link of violence is real. You know, and what we're saying out there is that we're fighting chains, and the chains are telling you there is something wrong here, you know. And if it's just a poverty thing, then let's get resources. Let's get these organizations out there to, you know, create jobs so maybe teens can, you know, go out there and break chains and be a part of the solution. There's so much opportunity to fix the problem and programs. You can write a program for a child that can help an animal, and that's what the key is. You can find so much money in the work of children, but if you can write it, help animals while helping children, it's so powerful, and it gets things done.
The bigger impact.
Exactly. And then you created an advocate and a compassionate person that's going to be a leader in the community some way down the line. I can't say enough about how excited we are, because these kids are, like I say, we say repeatedly, the future leaders. I say, why are we waiting for tomorrow when we can empower them today? These kids are ready to go. They just need a purpose, and they just need guidance. And other than that, I mean, just love them and know that we are all in the work of good. And what better way to do it than by teaching them to love animals?
Telling you, superheroes are real.
That's right.
Got one right here on the line. Go Wonder Dogs.
That's all you got to do is step up to the plate and take action. If you want to see change, you got to take action. No questions asked. You know, if
absolutely.
You sit there and do nothing, expect no changes.
Exactly.
Because it's only going to get worse. You know,
and don't lose hope. You know, I think sometimes the problem seems so overwhelming. But just, you know, I get so many calls for, hey, in the backyard, I have dog that's on a chain that's cold. And I'm like, we're really busy. Can you go out there and meet your neighbor and offer them some help? Why are you counting on somebody else to fix something that's breaking your heart? If it's breaking your heart, you need to go do something about it, because we keep depending on rescue and people in this work to fix all the problems. And our hearts are already weak. And overwhelmed that if you have a problem with your neighbor and how he treats his dog, how about give your neighbor some respect and maybe try to have a dialogue, compassionate, and understand that if that man or person has an animal on a chain, it's what he's known. That's the only thing he's known.
Education.
So if you want to see different, then offer a different solution. You know, and don't judge because people don't just end up in that situation. Somebody has made them feel like this was acceptable. And we've let this go on for so long that I call this acceptable cruelty. Somehow we think this is okay without realizing what we're really saying to our youth, our community, and what it says about our society in general.
Right.
Yep. And so true, too. Hey, Grace and Jennifer, we have another caller on coming in from area code 706. Welcome to Voices Carry for Animals, number 157. How are you doing this evening? Go ahead.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi.
Hello.
Is it my turn? Hey, it's Evie.
Hey, Evie.
Hi, Evie. How are you doing, Evie? Another former guest. How are you? Thank you.
I'm doing great. I really like listening to Gracie because I've learned a lot from her about, you know, how illegal activities, you know, are associated with the animals.
Yeah.
And I just want to say I love her and I love the kids and I love every all of y'all. Jennifer and Debbie. But, you know, my thing is it's a daily struggle to stay in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of sacrifices.
Because I mean, I find myself missing my doctor appointments. Hair, I haven't even had my hair done in over a month because I'm so busy worried about this ordinance getting changed in LaGrange. And I don't understand why I'm still debating this issue over a year and a half later. You know? I don't know why I'm having to beg them to change from a chain to at least a trolley system, which is $30, $40, $50.
Yeah, old customs die hard.
Gracie and the boys, they see things even worse than I do here in LaGrange. Just from listening, I'm scared to just go, and I want to go help. I do. But I'm afraid of what I'm going to see because, for me, it's hard to see it. I'll just be probably standing there crying the whole time because I'm just such a baby when I see it, you know. But I'm so
You're
glad.
You're a tough cookie.
Like,
what are you talking about?
No, I'm not.
You're a woman.
I'm crazy. You know,
Evie's
can
amazing.
Do this, and the kids can do this, and that they just keep going even though they see some of the worst things, like all these dead dogs. I mean, I don't know how you sleep at night because I already have a hard time sleeping sometimes, and I don't even see that part of it.
It's the kids. It really is the kids because the kids have helped me find my voice.
You
know, we cannot say this is just an animal problem because I've been doing rescue for 15 years. I'm not closer to rescuing ourselves out of this problem.
No,
like, I
can't
save
it.
One more dog that's going to make a difference. I only can help maybe one child realize that this is wrong. Maybe I'll save that one generation, that child. But these kids, the fact that they have given the issue a voice, because truly, the ones who do not respond to our free dog houses, our free runners, when we have to call animal control and police, usually there is a greater crime there. It's not just the chain. It's the usually there's a warrant out, stolen vehicles on the property. In California, which I love very much, and we're hoping that with the task force, if you have an animal cruelty call in California, they automatically call DFACS because they understand the link of violence. They know that if you have an animal out there suffering, you better look very closely at that family and what is going on. And the fact that we're not talking about that is what concerns me is because some people, I know Evie's saying it's hard to look at it, but I am forcing myself to look at this problem because I was that problem. I was that child that grew up where I was beat, and I saw my animal, you know, my pet beat, and it hurt me. And then when I had the kids write essays about what they've seen. Because when I'm over here saying, oh, my God, we have gangbangers, we have prostitutes, we have drug dealers, we have gangbangers, I sound like an adult that's ranting. But when you have a child and you have them sit down and say, what's going on in your community? And they say, you know, I got dogs dying on chains. I have gangbangers. You slow down and you realize that, holy cow, these things are real, because they're real for that child. To us, it's almost like we're like, ah, that's life. But to a child, it's not life. It's a beginning, and this is their beginning, and they're seeing things that are really awful. And they become the voice for us, because America is struggling. Like, we are fighting every issue against each other when we can't even get a basic understanding of humanity and what's right and wrong across, like, from healthcare to education and welfare. Like, somehow we're fighting about these. Some things we should not be fighting about. Some things should be inherent, that we should have certain things in place, and these kids should not grow up seeing the cruelty and the violence in the communities. And it's all, like they're saying, the FBI is collecting that data because it's really relevant. I mean, they're profiling killers. Why can't cities use animal cruelty to profile families that want, not profile families, but help bring resources to a community? So what I say is, like, the animals are just telling us that we need to help this community, this family, bring some resources to them. If they don't want those help, then they got bigger issues there that we need to watch more carefully.
Right, and like said, the connection, I've sat in on several animal cruelty cases where very heinous things have been done to small, innocent puppies, and every single case that the dog was...
I'm sorry, we got some noise coming in from the back. Hold on.
Oop.
Okay. Go ahead.
All of the cases where these animals were abused, the perpetrator was equally abusing the partner in his life. He was abusing his partner. So it was collateral. I mean, it was very, very, very much connected. So you're absolutely right. They go together hand in hand.
Yeah.
And Grace and Jennifer, we're running a little bit out of time here. I would love to be talking about this several more hours. It went so fast.
Great show.
Thank you. Do our best. You know, I cover James. Thank you so much for calling in, and also Thomas.
Wonder,
I know you didn't get to talk.
Thank you, Evie.
Wonder Dogs. All
and
of
I'll
out there, give you a big hug
again.
And keep up the great. Thank you so much. Great inspiration.
Thanks, Debbie.
And Grace, I would love to have you coming back in 2018, just like you, Jennifer. I'll be getting with you.
Yay.
And Thomas, thank you for you. Wonder Dogs, you're doing wonderful, okay?
Yep.
Awesome.
And keep up the great work you're doing, because you're being a what we need is more unity in the community to make positive actions.
Inspiration.
You know, doing your parts, making a better neighborhoods out there, and coming together and doing something positive. It's not that difficult.
Keep inspiring.
You inspire each other. You know, positivity.
Yep.
Not
absolutely.
Negativity, positivity. But anyway, Voices Care for Animals is on every Tuesday. 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Mountain, and 5 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, unlimited listeners. Everybody, thank you for tuning in tonight. I hope you come back next week. I have Free Billy the Elephant with Kirsten Cluster and Carrie Zuckerman. They'll be joining us next week. Want to welcome them aboard. But anyway, have a wonderful and peaceful evening. Wednesdays is Debbie Coffey, host on Wild Horse and Burro Radio. They're having some problems, and we want to do Horse Slider again, so if you want to tune in there. Thursdays is Marty Oakley, Whistleblowers. She's a great advocate. She's got some hot topics here, everybody, so please, we've got to kind of multitask and help all, you know, double over numbers, and the action gets taken. And also Sunday night, elder abuse and guardianship abuse. So if you want to find the dates and times, just go to the PPJ Gazette online and press follow, or you want to check it out daily or whatever, and it'll give you what's coming on a new podcast. But I want to thank you all, and hope to see you next week, and keep going, doing what you're doing out there, Wonder Dogs.
Yes. Go Wonder Dogs. Thanks, Debbie.
Yes. Go Wonder Dogs.
Woo. Thank you, Debbie.
Go Wonder Dogs. Get down, okay?
Bye, Evie.
Be nice to you all.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, my God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Good. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, James.